else have one? I heard a few people said they have Amunah stories. Anyone? I got a really nice one.
If you,
you ready for my Amunah story? Ellie, you ready for my Amunah story? Here he goes. So I communicate with my American office via email. And they sent me a letter about something that that happened between them and someone who made a request of the yeshiva. It has nothing to do with anyone in this room, just so you should know. And it was a very audacious request, but I was planning on granting it anyway. So I wrote back to the office, this request has lots of audacity, but let's do it anyway. And I sent them back the email. And it ever happened to you that the email you press send and it just doesn't go and it just like freezes? So I'm waiting there and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Why do I have to say it has lots of audacity? So I wrote back. I canceled, wrote back. It's an audacious request, but let's do it anyway. You write lots of audacity with the big question, you know, the exclamation points. It's an audacious request, let's do it anyway. Send.
And
doesn't go. I write another one. Let's do it. And just sent it. Sent. Everything goes. No, they didn't go because I canceled them. They don't go. Went through. And that was that.
And now he's in yeshiva.
It reminds me of a totally different story, similar but different, about Rabbi Berl Wein tells a story that sometimes when he gets angry at parents, so he writes, like, he dictates hate mail to them, but he doesn't send it. He just dictates to his, it's like a way of venting, you know? So he's talking to his secretary, and he's like, you are the most ungrateful, obnoxious, self-centered, blah, 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 right? And he got off his chest, and he feels very good. Anyway, so he wanted to, like, read over the letter again just to, like, you know, feel good about it. So he asked the secretary, where's the letter? She says, oh, I sent it. You did what? She sent the letter.
She sent the letter?
She sent the letter, yeah. She's like, oh, my gosh, what am I supposed to do? I was trying to think, should he call him and apologize, you know? Anyway. Okay, we'll start the beginning. Yeah, you don't talk during Amunah Vada, then you'll be listening. That's why.
Sorry.
No problem. Let's do it again, okay? Rabbi Berl Wein, he's a Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Shari Torah, where I went to yeshiva, told us this following story, which was that Rabbi, that when he would get angry at a parent or something like that, so he would dictate a letter, which was a form of hate mail, but he wouldn't send it to them. He would just get it off his chest. That's his way of venting. Just vent. And he dictated this letter about how horrible and terrible, no good, very bad, audacious, and self-centered, obnoxious, all those things about this parent, right? And he felt much better about himself. Actually, this is actually brought down somewhat in the Svarim. It's brought down, I think the Piasetzni even brings this down. He says you should read it afterwards to yourself, and then you feel like silly almost. So he said, okay, he told the secretary, I'd like to read the letter. She says, I sent it. Then what did he do? You did what? You sent the letter? Anyway, he's waiting. No communication between him and the parent. And he's feeling very, very tense. Anyway, a few weeks later, he gets letters sent back in the mail that she sent it to the wrong state. She sent it to New York. It was really supposed to go to New Jersey. Came, returned to sender. He got the letter back. Thank you, Hashem. So we don't have that anymore. Now we just have our email freezing. Like, what's going on over here? Okay. Anyway, that's my Amunah Vada story. I'd like to share with you a mashal about the difference between people that live with Amunah and people that don't. The mashal is from the Dubna Magid. Dubna Magid says the following thing. Listen here. And this is very important. And we're going to talk about Amunah. And you have to understand something else, though. When you talk about Amunah, sometimes when you're dealing with other people that have influence on you, and they don't speak your language, so then you got to know how to deal with them. That's like a whole different discussion. But let's talk about the people that are dealing with Amunah, which is as follows. There's two different people. They're two different beggars. Two beggars. And one of them was brought up in a very prominent family, but he ended up becoming a beggar. The reason was because he was blind. And he didn't have any way to support himself, didn't have any way to... He was a beggar. He used to go around just asking people, begging for, you know, for people's mercy and for their money, for some food. And it was really demoralizing for him. He felt like very bad about it. But he didn't have a choice because he's blind. And he had another friend who actually enjoyed being a beggar. He was also blind. But he didn't come from any type of particularly sophisticated stock. And he had a whole begging routine, you know, and he liked meeting different people and getting, you know, and, you know, trying to see how much money he could wedge out of the guy or whatever, cram, you know what I mean? And he was enjoying it. He could, and that was his life. And he was, you know, fine being a beggar. Anyway. So the two of them are walking around begging, and they go to this one guy, and they meet this doctor, and they're like, you know, could you maybe give us some money? And the doctor says, I'm happy to give you some money, but I just want you to know, I can maybe even do something better for you. What's that? I could heal your eyesight. But you have to follow a very strict dietary regimen and health regimen and exercise and take certain medications, and it's a slow process, but... Anyway, so both of the beggars are there, and the one who grew up in a more prestigious home was very, very, he was very responsible about it. He was always doing his exercises and always taking his medications, and after 3 weeks he came back to the guy and he's like, I see that your eyesight, you're improving, and if you continue under my tutelage, you will be able to see. And the other one was just not doing it. So the friend asked, he said, why are you not doing it? He said, look, I'm a beggar. I'm okay being a beggar. I'm blind. It doesn't really bother me. Because I don't mind getting my money through begging. Once I have eyesight, no one's going to give me money anymore. The other guy wants to be able to see. Because he doesn't want to beg from people. So it says the Divna Magid, there's two different types of people. Some people that they're looking for Hashem. We're just looking for you. We just want to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. We want to see Hashem in our parnasa. We want to see Hashem in our brios. We want to see Hashem everywhere. We're looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to see Him. So we're not looking to make money through, you know, do this trick and that trick, through, you know, going here and going there and doing all this stuff. We're looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one approach to life. The other people, they're just not looking for Hashem. They're very happy, you know, making the money by going to Ivy League school and being a Schwitzer and being, you know, and being, you know, with all the white collar people and whatever. They're happy doing that. And you gotta know your plans. You gotta know how you're gonna do it and what's your approach and what's your this and what's your that and your strategy and your blah 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 blah. The strategy is Hashem. We're looking for you. Other people, they're just not looking for Him. They're not interested in making Hashem part of the equation. That's a different lifestyle. Now, so the problem is sometimes people have a clash in lifestyles because there's people who are influential in our lives, right? And they're people that we have to reckon with, and they don't necessarily live on the same plane of Amunah that we do. It happens. How to deal with that is a whole different discussion, a whole different topic for a whole different time. But that is something that we are going to have to deal with. And you have to realize that it has to be reckoned with. You can't just stonewall people and say, I have Amunah. They're like, okay, I'm not interested in your Amunah. How do you deal with those people? Do you just ignore them? Just cut them out of your life? Or just tell them, listen, it's my way, the highway? Or is there a give and take? That's something which we, you know, could discuss at a later date, but now's not the time. But remember, that's a discussion. Okay? Great. So I'd like to discuss a little bit about Nasev and Nishma. And about a very important component of Emunah. Nasev Mishnah is probably the greatest statement of Emunah that one could possibly make. Why is Nasev Mishnah Emunah? Anyone? Nasev Mishnah.
Because you're making yourself fully Hafkatasha.
You believe
fully that Hashem is going to take care of you and guide you. And
that's right, exactly, that's right. All of you are saying the same idea, and they're all correct. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to the Goyim and said, would you like my Torah, what did the Goyim say?
On condition.
They said, what's in it? Let me hear, what's in it? Let me hear, what's going on? What do you mean, what's in it? What do you mean, there's God? You're talking to God. Okay, but I need to know. I got to know if I can deal with this or not. And I can decide. No one's going to tell me what I can do because I don't trust anyone. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Klal Yisrael and he said, you want the Torah, this past week's parasha, Parashas Mishpatim, this Nasev Nishma is in Mishpatim, not in Yisrael. Those that were listening during laning. Nasev in Klal Yisrael said, Hashem, whatever you say, is Nasev Nishma. That's very important. Now, Rabbi said, for us to live Naseh Nishma. For us to live Naseh Nishma, that means as follows. Someone says it's time to get up for Shacharis, and he goes, oh, I can't. You know what that is? That is lacking Naseh Nishma. Someone says, you know, you're not allowed to eat this food, but I need it, I gotta. Or you're not allowed to watch this movie. Oh, but I need it. I can't. I'm going to go crazy. I can't. What? Why do we need time and mitzvahs? This is an excellent question. Why do we need time and mitzvahs? The answer is we don't necessarily need them. They can enhance, but they don't need. We could talk about that. That's a good question. Rabbi Shaffel in training is asking, so what's the point of time and mitzvahs? Just Hashem, whatever you say. Right, but there is a question of a dedication, and then there is an appreciation. Those are two different things. Why do we daven in the morning? Let's say you asked your rabbi and say, "Listen, I'm really not in the mood to daven right now. Should I daven anyway?" What is your rabbi going to say? Nah, don't daven. I don't like Shabbos. I'm not in the mood for Shabbos today. Last Shabbos was long. I mean, long meals, Rabbi Kalish, the whole thing. This week, I'm not in the mood. Forget it. We'll take a pass on Shabbos this week. Is that okay, Rabbi? What's he going to say? He's going to say no. And if he does, then we're going to take away, dock his rabbi license. But wouldn't it be better if you can enjoy your Shabbos? You could appreciate your Shabbos? Sure, that's better. Right? So if you understand the mitzvahs, you appreciate better your shmiras hamitzvahs is what we're looking for. Is for sure much better, but your dedication to the mitzvahs has nothing to do with understanding it and knowing it and feeling it. Zero, zilch. Why do we keep Shabbos? Because we have to, because we're supposed to. Why do we keep kosher? Oh, because kosher makes me feel all fuzzy inside. No, it doesn't. Kosher doesn't make you feel fuzzy. I need to keep kosher because Hashem told me to keep kosher. That's why. And Shabbos and Davin and learn and everything. You do it because you're supposed to. Period. Because I believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if He tells me to do it, it's for my good. Do I feel that way? No, but I have faith. That's Emunah. That's Naseh V'Nishma. And I believe I can do it, even if it's hard. It's the eternal faith. We have to stop. I'm sorry, I gotta go. I have a very important meeting.